Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear brethren, the highest human relationship we can have here below is that of friendship. It is greater than a relationship formed on, for example, common interest like football or politics or even religion. It is greater, in a certain sense, than the relationship of marriage, in the sense that a friendship is entirely spiritual. It seeks to win nothing. It seeks no profit or gain and is ready to sacrifice all. As such, it can reflect the characteristics of divine charity, supernatural charity, but on the natural plane, even more clearly than sacramental wedded love. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, seeketh not her own, is not puffed up. Now, of course, in a marriage, friendship is the salt of a perfect marriage, but it can exist without marriage. There is no trough deeper than that of betrayal by a friend. There is nothing so comforting as a deep friendship when two friends can be silent together. But alas, in our human condition, on this earth, friendships come and go. Two people, one might say, grow out of each other or away from each other with time. They may take different paths or may change in themselves. Many or even most friendships reach a point when, as Robert Hugh Benson, this sermon is inspired by his book, The Friendship of Christ. He said, most beautifully, he says, there reaches a point in human friendships where there is no fruit to be gathered on either side and the friendship fades away. There is one friendship and only one friendship that will truly fulfill man, of which human friendship is a pale shadow. This is friendship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Many Catholics have a knowledge of Christ, but his divinity blinds them to his humanity. They forget that he became a man not only to redeem us from hell and sin, but also to be loved as a friend. Many Catholics sanctify themselves with his sacraments, adore him in the Blessed Sacrament, pray to him with devotion. But they are lonely because they do not see our Blessed Lord as their friend. They have a relationship of dependence, obedience, imitation on account of his divinity, but they are unaware of the offered friendship on account of his humanity. In fact, this is the thing that sets the saints apart from most Catholics, their consciousness of the friendship of our Blessed Lord. Now, one of the most winning examples of this is St. Teresa of Avila, who had a great familiarity with our Blessed Lord. Robert Hugh Benson says, if Christ dwells in a man as his friend and noble leader, that man can endure all things, for Christ helps and strengthens us and never abandons us. He is a true friend. And then there's a lovely episode in the life of St. Teresa, I'm sure you're familiar with it, many of you. And she describes herself on a journey. She was journeying all over Spain, founding convents. I think she's founded about 30 convents, Carmel convents. And she describes one journey thus. We had to run many dangers, and at no part of the road were the risks greater than within a few leagues of Burgos at a place called Los Pontes. The rivers were so high that the water in places covered everything. Neither road nor the smallest footpath could be seen, only water everywhere and two abysses either side. It seemed foolhardiness to advance, especially in a carriage, for if one strayed ever so little off the road, which was then invisible, one might perish. And then the saint is silent on her share of the adventure, but her companions relate that seeing their alarm, St. Teresa turned to them and encouraged them, saying, as they were engaged in doing God's work, how could they die in a better cause? She then led the way on foot. The current was so strong that she lost her footing and was on the point of being carried away by the current, and our Lord sustained her. "Oh, my Lord," she exclaimed, with her usual loving familiarity, "when wilt thou cease from scattering obstacles in our path?" "Do not complain, daughter," the divine master answered, "for it is ever thus that I treat my friends." To which St. Teresa replied, "Our Lord, it is also on that account that thou hast so few." Friendship with Christ is due to a communion of the soul. And although it exists on the supernatural level rather than the natural, it happens in the same way as a human friendship. A look, a word, a common thought, then our spiritual lives become real. Our Blessed Lord reveals himself beyond our studies of Scripture or the Catechism, and he demands that we open our hearts to him like a friend. No pretenses, no trying to be something we're not. If a soul becomes disappointed with this divine friendship, it is through no fault of Jesus. It is because we are holding back. Like all friendships, there will be moments of elation, moments of tranquility, moments of dryness. But unlike any other friendship, friendship with Christ can never fail. St. Paul says, "Count all things to be but loss, and count them as dung, that I may gain Christ." Now, there are various stages in the friendship with Christ, just as with other friendships. Initially, friendship with Christ is intoxicating. It's, I suppose it's the born-again effect when you discover Christ. He sent you a little consolation, a little light, and then you're lit up. But this is immature friendship on the part of man. It is but the beginning of the path that leads ultimately to the beatific vision. A friendship needs to be purified and cleansed to be true. It needs to be tested. And then it can be raised up. The purifying of the friendship of Christ is nothing other than the purgative way, as described by many of the spiritual authors. And this is followed by the raising up, which is called the illuminative way. Now, in the purgative way, a soul is purified of disordered attachment. St. Teresa describes this quite well in saying that, first of all, we have to detach ourselves from the world. Then we have to reattach ourselves to all those things in the world, but in a different way. So we detach ourselves, first of all, to exterior things, material things, money, food, comfort, anything that gives sensual gratification, detachment. And then from the spiritual things, we have to detach ourselves. Things like honor and the feelings of joy or hope or spiritual consolations for Catholics who hunt after that warm, fuzzy feeling when they pray. And then we have to detach ourselves from the hardest thing to detach ourselves from is ourselves, our own will. In the illuminative way, the things cast off, the material things, the spiritual things, and our own will, we take back again in a way which is ordered to Christ. Exterior objects become welcome as instruments of love. Things like beauty, wealth, and nature are all held and cherished for God's glory. And spiritual objects are accepted as gifts from Jesus. We love to be honored for our Blessed Lord's sake. We love friendship when it is in our Lord. And then the most beautiful marriage will be one which is ultimately ordered to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then self-abandonment to Christ. When we are self-abandoned to Christ, then we will truly love ourselves as we ought. To love ourselves is to want what is good for ourselves. And then when we truly love ourselves, we want that which is the ultimate good for ourselves, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So, purgative way, we get rid of the bodily things, material things, the spiritual things, and even our own self-love. And then the illuminative way, we take these things back away again in order to Christ. Now, the season of Advent is for rekindling our friendship, or even beginning our friendship with Christ. He became man so that we might know him as God, but also that we may embrace him as a friend. And this is our redemption, to do so. We must walk the purgative way to remove all obstacles to Christ's friendship, to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, as we hear in the reading today. We must detach ourselves from or die to physical things, spiritual things, and even ourselves. So, as St. Paul says, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Let us ask this grace through the Blessed Virgin Mary, that we may not waste this Advent by prematurely celebrating Christmas, but may make it a time of throwing off all the things that are holding us back from the friendship for which we are made. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.